what you need to know for every game to make your best bets. Will you fade or will you follow? Welcome to the Weekly Wager. Broadcasting live from the Pottawatomie Sportsbook Studios in Milwaukee, alongside Josh DiMaggio, here's Ben Brust.
It is the Weekly Wager at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and their amazing sportsbook. That pretzel stood absolutely no chance.
Dominated.
I mean, it was so fresh. The cheese, the spicy mustard, goner. Ben Brust, Josh DiMaggio, with you until 7 o'clock. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text Line. And, of course, you can catch us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. You know, it's been a little bit too long for me and us. I know there was a little bit of time in between.
Holidays.
I missed last week. I was down in Madison. Nobody cares where I was.
Nope.
But you did play me pretty good because I thought Alex Stroph was actually making picks for me. And it went 1-4 from Alex Stroph. I texted you right away about what I liked, and it went 3-2. And being the guy that you are, Josh DiMaggio, you gave me the 3-2.
Yeah, I decided, well, it was a funny bit to enact in the moment, and I knew the reaction of me saying, hey, you didn't get picks.
You got a panic
You didn't respond in time. I knew that you weren't going to be favorable, and I knew as he was making the picks that you were going to hate them, and when you got sent them, you immediately said, like it, hate it, hate it, like it, and you ended up with the same exact games I had picked.
We were both 3-2?
Yes, we were both 3-2 on the week.
That's a good winning week for you, and
yes.
I continue to stay in a very good record, man. We post about this or something. I think we have somebody here from social.
Your record has steady been improving, and sort of you had one or two, I think.
28-21 against the spread?
Uh-huh.
Seven games up?
Yeah.
That's over a 55% clip. That means we're profitable.
Yeah.
Joshy, 23-26, but
I don't know if
that doesn't tell the story.
Yeah, I don't know if, Chris, you have any of the old emails you can look up. I feel like I was 10 games back at
one point. It was at least 8, as Chris Larson is running the show. But I do want to jump right into what was a interesting matchup between the Packers and the Bears. If you've been listening to anything across our stations, you've probably heard Homer from Green Bay Game Night talking about the defense in the second half being embarrassing and pathetic. I disagree. He still came on Kyle Brust-Nortman's crosstalk with us and was like, I don't buy that they're tired argument. Well, you just don't want to hear it. Now, that's not the whole story. Part of it is, yes, like the Bears have a formidable offense and a good offensive line, and they did put together a good drive after the Packers went 3-and-out to start the second half. But then the Packers scored on the 2 out of the 4 possessions very quickly. Both scores under 4 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then the two times they did not score, there were 3-and-outs. What does that equal? Your defense being out on the field without your best defensive tackle against the run, Devontae Wyatt, who's out for the season. And so, yeah, like it's not going to be easy to stop a team in the second half when you're on the field that much. And for a team that has a strength in running the football, they utilize that to their advantage. But ultimately, they decided on 4th-and-1 to run the same play they ran earlier in the game, but to Caleb Williams' left. And I think that is important, and everyone's like, oh, it was the same play. Like, it was. But all of his success in that game was play action, roll out to the right, where he was comfortable. They ran it inversely, and he missed the running back in the flat. He missed the tight end open originally in the back corner. And DJ Moore was, yes, open, coming across the field. But where Caleb Williams' body was rolling, he would have had to open up his body even more, which is impossible in the way that he was running, to be able to see that. Does he know that as an option? Yes. But in real time, when the defense is running at you, it wasn't an option. So the Packers played that play, I'd say, pretty solid. And then Ben Johnson was an idiot for putting in Caleb Williams' hands and not giving Menungai a second crack at a 4th-and-1, even though he didn't get in 3rd-and-1. That's my take. I digress.
Yeah, I mean, the play was there. Caleb Williams was late. They ran the same exact play the week previous for a touchdown. The difference was nobody followed Cole Kmet there. And Keyshawn Nixon dropped his guy and realized there was a guy wide open in the end zone and made a play on it. The defense wasn't at its best, but the you could see in their faces and the guys standing with their hands on their waist, all that, they were exhausted. And I think the last challenge for this Packers team and this Packers defense is going to be getting off the field more often when teams are really trying to run the ball, because that is going to be and has been a recipe for teams to beat the Packers. They want to limit the amount of possessions. They want to take Jordan the ball away from Jordan Love and not allow him to score those touchdowns, get those explosive plays, and put themselves in an advantage. A great way to do that is jumping out to early leads, taking Correct. Advantage of it, and forcing teams to get out of that. The Bears did, in that first half, get a little gun-shy and start throwing the ball a lot, and it was very bad for Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams looked awful at that point. And then once they went back to the run game in the second half, that's when the tide turned from them. The Packers need to be able to find an answer up the middle of their defense, because teams are just running directly at them and they're getting 4, 5, 6 yards a pop and then putting themselves into third and short. And that's a pretty good spot for an offense to be in.
And if you're a limited quarterback, you it's a little bit easier. You don't have to have as much progression to go through.
I also think Caleb Williams, I don't think, was particularly good. He just made two spectacular throws.
You're really good. And both what, Josh? Rolling to the right.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't think, and the people of Chicago are very upset about me for saying Caleb hasn't developed. But I think that in most games, like, those things need, like, the one pass to Keyshawn Nick to, who was in the end? Zacchaeus? It went Zacchaeus. Through Keyshawn Nixon's hands.
Yep.
There was another one where I believe it was to one of the tight ends where it was a great throw. It was to Devin Duvernay.
Are you talking about right corner?
Yes.
Yes.
So there was all those throws that if that guy who has one reception on the season doesn't make a sliding catch, the game changes. All that stuff matters. I don't think that style is sustainable, and I don't think that's going to work in the long term. I think you need, like, Ben Johnson wants Caleb Williams to be Jared Goff.
He's not.
Do what Jared Goff does. Step back, throw it in rhythm, stay in the pocket. And when it requires the incredible, the things that Jared Goff can't do, that's when Caleb can be Caleb. But he's incapable of doing the first part, so it's all left to the remarkable. I'm not worried about the defense for any other reason other than the run game. And they're not giving up big gashes. They're not giving up tons of yardage. The biggest rush in that game was 9 yards.
Yeah, and when I think about a lot of things we just talked about, it's not a secret. I mean, if the Packers get up, it helps their defense, and we've seen other teams be successful in the New York Giants, for instance, keeping that a one-score game
yes.
throughout the entire game, so they're able to stay with that.
They're essentially playing keep away.
When the Packers got up, when the Vikings muffed the punt, it became, all right, they scored, it's 2-score. And who was effective were Jordan Mason and Aaron Jones. I think more Jordan Mason, but regardless, it was the same sort of thing. But if the Packers get out to a lead, and you can't ask them to be perfect.
No.
But we do know that once they scored at halftime, I knew, in my heart of hearts, if they didn't go 3 and out and they got any points,
and I
mean a field goal, I don't know if the drive that the Bears have looks the exact same and if they're able to trust themselves to run the football, because you start getting a little antsy because you look at the scoreboard
yes.
and you look at the amount of points that you have at the end of the first half. You're like, I don't know if we can do what we want to do, and then that's where the Packers can feast. So
And the thing is, Jordan Love, if they get points on that series where he just throws that impossibly confusing interception, that game has a lot different of an outcome. Like, if they score a touchdown in that scenario, the Packers have a potential to go up 21-3. And at that point, the run game, while you could still use it to an extent, it ain't going to work the same way it did late into the game and those long, sustained 17-play, 8-minute drive where they ran it so many. I mean, that drive, Ben Johnson pulled out all the stops.
Well, and one thing that we as we talk about Caleb Williams a little bit here, because we will see them in 2 weeks, and we'll get to the Broncos a little bit later here, 62.5% of dropbacks
yep.
play action.
Yes.
Play action.
Yeah.
And you're telling, and that's why, like, it's funny to see some of the comments.
It's smoke and mirrors.
Yes, I know you're excited about him being a number one overall draft pick, but I thought it was really
insightful. You know what it is? It's because he's not Drake May. That's why they're so mad. He's not as good as Drake May. It's very obvious. It's very apparent.
Well, I'm not saying because I don't. We all know that Drake May throws an unbelievable deep ball.
Yes.
He's led his team.
He plays.
He can use his legs in spots.
Yes.
He's an athletic quarterback. But I thought what was most insightful about Caleb Williams was when Tom Waddle was on Wilde and Tausch. You know, like from year one to year two, he's still learning because he's played his entire career doing the,
yes,
I can get out of the pocket and make,
yes,
these plays. But in that system, as I look to my left on NFL Network, what is Jared Goff doing? He's sitting in the pocket.
Yes.
That's where they thrive.
Yes.
Now, that's where Ben Johnson thrived with,
yes,
Jared Goff, and that's where this offense will thrive.
That's how every
NFL offense with this run game.
Yes.
And if you have that next level escapability, that's when you can become that elite,
yes,
quarterback. But I don't think he'd ever reach the elite quarterback level without learning how to actually sit in the pocket and have read his progressions. And there was one throw in the first half where it was a check down.
Yes.
He didn't even hit him in his hands. He sailed it to the right.
Yes.
And I was just like, yeah, this is all I need to see to know that, yes, he has some skills. But I agree 110% with what Chewy said on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. It is good for the Green,
yes,
Bay Packers for as long as Caleb Williams will be the starter for the Chicago Bears.
Yes, yes. The Packers and Packers fans should want him to stick around. Now, there is certainly potential for him to improve. His career isn't written in stone. He's not his final form. He has an ability to develop and improve. I just haven't seen a lot of it yet. I think you can probably say in the margin some things are better, but look at his completion percentage. And the amount people were saying, oh, it was a throwaway. Well, why was it a throwaway? Was it because he left a pocket that he didn't need to and then ran, sprinted to a sideline, and then Micah Parsons was there and we heaved it up and just said, hope it's... Like, there was really one instance where the throwaway was a necessity because Micah Parsons got through in the middle and Caleb had to run for his life. Like, he's throwing it away because he's cutting off half of the field, mm-hmm, and sprinting to the sideline.
And, again, as you saw, Micah Parsons in week one chase down Jared Goff, although he cannot chase down Caleb Williams when he is taking away that much of the field and makes that much of a difference.
I think Micah's faster than him. Like,
I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. When Caleb tried to escape a couple times, I think there was one towards the end zone where he makes his way to that same sideline, that same right he rolled every single time he could. He thinks he's going to get the edge, and then Micah comes flying around, and he stops, and
it's so fun to watch.
Yes.
A couple things on the Carbless Talk and Text Line, 800-990-3776, the Weekly Wager with Ben Brust and Josh DiMaggio. Petey Pablo chimed in. We talked about it a little bit.
What's up, Petey?
We need longer drives, too, from a time of possession standpoint. While I do agree, if the Packers are going to be able to use their playmakers to score quickly, I don't want them to change because I feel like the Packers do run into trouble and struggle in the red zone when,
yes,
they do have those long sustained,
right,
drives.
Yeah, this is very simple. Explosive plays, pass plays of over 20 yards and rushes over 10 are the key indicator to a successful and scoring offense. If you are able to get a bunch of explosives throughout the course of the season, your offense will be one of the top rated. They will score the most and they will have the best chance to be one of those positives when you look at them. That is the key indicator for offenses. So explosives are great. They're good. You can't fault Christian Watson for
being
open
faster
and then running to the end zone. What it does mean, and one place I think the Packers certainly still have room for improvement, even though we've seen a drastic improvement from what it was earlier in the season and in the middle of the season, is the run game is better. Josh Jacobs is finding holes. A 21-yard run when they needed to go up 28-21, that was incredible.
That right foot in the ground.
If they're able...
If you had a freeze frame... I've seen the freeze frame,
yes,
on Twitter.
People are right there.
I don't know how he did it.
Yeah, and what they can add to this offense in a way to elevate it is once they have the lead, they then can play keep away if the running game can be successful. And that's a way to sort of give themselves some time, but you're never going to score seven on a four-play drive and go, well, That was bad for us. It's like, no, you want the points how you can get them. You're not going to say, Christian Watson, go down at the five so we can give our defense a blow here. You score the points.
You score the points. Stevie chimes in the 414.
Stevie.
Why is this the first time ever listening to this segment? You guys have been insightful and on top of the ball.
Thanks, Stevie.
KBN vibes, but you add Joshy, elite. I don't know if Stevie ever heard of the Scalzo and Brust era, but I will say, because this is 1 hour, yes. Josh and I are forced to stay on
task.
We're on ball, baby. Uh-huh. We are stay on ball. And we'll be discussing Jordan Love coming up next year on the Weekly Wager as we finish the last piece that we couldn't eat during the segment at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel's amazing sports book. We're back with you next.
This is the Weekly Wager live from Pottawatomie Sportsbook on 94.5 ESPN and at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube.
The word elite came up in the Carbless Talk and Text line. Is this the Weekly Wager with Ben Brust and Josh DiMaggio taking you to 7 o'clock with Chris Larson running the show? Get us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, and of course, 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line. The old Jordan Love is the elite conversation. Now, Joshy, I'm sure you're aware, as an executive producer,
uh-huh,
of what we typically do on Kyle, Brust, and Ortman. We have been asking throughout the season as it pertains to 2025 alone. So I guess before we go into it, I want to know what lens we are looking at Jordan Love through in the elite conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Is it 2025? Is it overall? I just want to gear up my brain with you.
I think talking about it as of the season that's currently happening, what we've seen.
So for our poll, the elite, great, good, or average,
yep,
where average is just out there just to see who's trolling because that's not a thing.
Yep.
Bears fans. I have great to teetering on elite. And
a little teeter.
And the only reason why is, and it's not Jordan Love's fault, it is the schedule's fault. The teams that he's played against have fallen on the back half of pass defense. And to his credit, he has taken care of all of those teams. He has put up good numbers against them. And even the Detroit Lions, who I believe is a opportunistic defense, they're not the same as they were 2 years ago. Injuries killed them last year. They're 15th overall, I think 10th in pass defense, which is uh-huh, which is good. Like, again, he was 4 touchdowns, unbelievable on Thanksgiving. Bears, back half of everything, points scored, passing is like 22nd and rushing's 28th, something around there. You get my overall point.
Uh-huh.
This week is not like end-all be-all, but it's another great opportunity against what we know is a top 5 defense, top 3 in the NFL, in the Denver Broncos, for him to just be like, all right, Ben, I am making you say elite and there's no teetering anymore, because if he has that type of performance against this pass rush and that defense, it'd be hard for me to, you know, just be like, yeah, he's teetering.
Yeah, so this whole thing, this whole debate has been interesting to me, because when people talk about elite, they often are thinking of the entirety of someone's work. What accolades do they have? Do they have Super Bowl victories? But when you bring it down to just this season, we haven't had a Super Bowl. We've just had the games that have been on the schedule. I think it's undeniable that Jordan Love has been elite. He is the most efficient quarterback in all of the NFL. He leads all quarterbacks in expected points added and expected points added per dropback. So those things, to me, tell me he is one of the three best quarterbacks this season. The problem is the counting stats aren't there yet. But when you put them all together, he's still top 10 in virtually every major passing statistic.
Man, virtually he is.
And he's top 5 in the most of them. So to me, this season, what we've seen in 2025, this season of the Green Bay Packers and Jordan Love's performance, he's been elite. He still has a ways to go, but when you look at the biggest wins on the season for quarterbacks, he's right up there with Drake May. In terms of this quarterback went into or went somewhere and played one of the better teams and got the wins that everyone expected. The one place there you're lacking the wins is the Eagles, who's a team now which is on the verge of implosion.
Collapse, whatever adjective you'd like to insert.
Yeah, and like there's ways to do it. I'm right here looking at adjusted EPA plus the PFF grade. Now, PFF grade is not the end-all be-all. It is just one thing amongst
it's
all the
source.
Others. Yes. And they combine, this chart here combines EPA plus PFF. You know who's first overall? Your very own Jordan Love. He is the best quarterback in terms of EPA, and he is the second best in terms of grade.
All right, let me jump in here, Joshy, because the box score is always evolving.
Yes.
You've seen plus minus be
yes.
added to the NBA. When you
go to MFM Field. It's not what it used to be.
Oh, correct. Yes,
right.
Yes. So the pitches and like it, we. I'm not.
OPS plus and yes.
OPS plus, and then you now have even like the names of pitches going
yes.
to a level where people are like, oh, that's just curved. No, it's not. But we have to get into that. My overall point that I want to make about the metrics is when you go to ESPN.com and you look at the quarterbacks, you can see QBR, yards, quarterback rating. You use EPA a lot.
Yes.
Where do you weigh that in comparison to QBR? And because we talked about
yes.
how Pro Football Focus is a source. You love to use EPA.
Yes.
Which is showing that on a 3rd and 6, Jordan Love is most likely to give you the best result out of any other quarterback.
Yep. I view it as more valuable than either of the passer rating or QBR. It takes a more holistic approach throughout the history of the game, and then it's able to refine down to specific instances, because what expected points added is, hey, it's 3rd and 8 with 4 minutes left in the third quarter. What do quarterbacks historically do? And then it grades off of that and shows an improvement. I think the right now, when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks, or really evaluating anything in the NFL, it's the last place where the counting stat stuff still matters. We saw in baseball the RBI lose its value. We've seen
average a little bit.
Average, yes. All those things have sort of become less important. And I think the NFL is the last one before, like, it's going to be more normal to cite EPA the same way it is now normal to cite WAR and to cite OPS and to sort,
You're just a pioneer,
things.
Josh.
It's not that I'm a pioneer. I just think it was. There's a certain population of people using it, and it's some of the smarter people you'll see when they talk
about
sports.
You're just the smartest person in the world, Josh.
No, I'm using other people's work to make myself smarter. That's what I'm doing here, because I don't know how to calculate EPA. It's not an easy concept to understand.
Well,
but do we know WAR? But we understand the concept of WAR now.
Yes, correct.
Right.
And what I thought of in the broadcast was you, because the EPA statistic that you will tweet about, that you'll talk about, and we'll talk about it here a little bit more in depth, because we're just an hour talking ball, as we had said earlier. On the broadcast, they showed the Packers' third down percentage on like 3rd and 12+ or 3rd and 10+.
Yeah.
They led the league.
Yes,
and so
correct.
I'm thinking to myself, if the Packers are the best in the league on 3rd and 1,
yes.
Yeah, Jordan Love's EPA has got to be fantastic.
Correct.
Because on 3rd and long, you're not running a draw and you're not getting
right.
first down.
And that's why that stat to me is so valuable, because it combines all those things you see posted on their little placards that come up during the broadcast. They talk about 4th down efficiency. They talk about 3rd down efficiency, goal line efficiency. All that stuff is just put into the expected points added stat. It makes it an easy way to digest. The problem is it's not a very like impressive and gaudy number. It's often like 0.32, but that's telling you like this guy's 30% better than the average quarterback or what the average person would be doing.
So the conversation about Jordan Love being elite, what I do know is what I've loved most about Jordan Love from this season is what he's done has now made it easier to sort of have conversations, because it was a lot of guessing, right?
Yes.
It's not that he was bad. It was, well, he's good, and he's a great sometimes. He had the elite run in 2023 at the end of the season. What this year has done has eliminated now where there always used to be the person that would call in and say this, that about Jordan Love.
Yep.
I don't know about you guys. I don't see the text, the calls.
No.
Maybe there's always trolls.
Yeah,
there's always
of course.
Trolls. But
yeah.
I'm saying from a consistent standpoint, when bringing Jordan Love's name up,
You know what you haven't heard? So he makes $55 million. You expect him to make that. Where's that been?
Oh, a little bit this season, but we could maybe point to the play calling Matt LaFleur
yes.
and not letting him let Correct. Jordan do his
yeah,
thing.
That sentence felt like it was part of every conversation you had about Jordan Love, and those have become less. It certainly hasn't gone away fully because, as with everyone, I think we're all guilty of it, when we have an opinion and it comes time to adjust, we're a little slow to adjust and admit that maybe we had the wrong perception. Now,
you know what money number's going to start happening if they don't win a Super Bowl this year? Micah's.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's the next one. Yeah. I'm calling it right now. It's
yeah,
the next one.
I saw it when he like had a game with no sacks and they lost. It's just, and it's like,
we don't pay this guy for pressures.
Yes. Yeah, and he's one of the most successful in all the league at the quick pressures, at actually bringing down the quarterback. That, to me, is nonsense. The thing is, Jordan Love is now one of the few quarterbacks in all the NFL the Packers win because of. He is a value add. He is undeniably the reason the Packers have the record they do right now. And to me, that it's the eye test. It's very simple. When you watch him, does it look like he's impacting the game and impacting it positively? I can read EPA, you can read QBR, we can do all that, but when you watch him, and he has the game he has, and he's throwing deep balls, and he's accurate, and he's evading pressure, and doing all the things you expect someone to do, it's hard to argue. And I think the place we are now is probably unfair to Jordan Love, and I think we all, as fans and members of the media, we don't account for injuries to players and how they affect their play probably
no
to
doubt.
The right degree. There is an aspect of if you're on the field, you're expected to perform, and that's that.
Dontavian Wicks
right.
on Thanksgiving, who, again, isn't a bad player, but he's not, you look around the league, he's not
right.
anybody in comparison.
Yes.
And then Jaden Reed comes back, and boom, Christian
yes.
Mazza comes back. But those guys weren't there. Tucker Kraft went down.
Yes.
Bo freaking Melton was on this team to be
and
a
also,
cornerback.
Also, Jordan Love was injured from game one last year on. He missed games. He had multiple injuries. There were things affecting his play. And we probably don't grant athletes enough leeway in terms of, well, yeah, his production's down a little bit because he doesn't feel 100%. And I think it is a skill for some players to get better at playing, hey, I don't feel 100%, but I can still do the things I need to do. Aaron Rodgers, an all-time great at that. The guy played with, like, broken bones and torn ligaments. And we were none the wiser until after the season. It was like, oh, yeah, Aaron Rodgers had this repaired, and you're like, I didn't even know that
Correct.
Was an issue.
Correct.
So there is a skill to that. I just think at this point, if you're denying what you're seeing in Jordan Love, you're not doing it honestly.
I think that's a perfect way to end the Jordan Love, is he elite conversation in 2025. Now, I do want to preview the Packers and Broncos with you, Joshy,
mm-hmm.
but I also want to make mention that I don't know what you're doing here, because I know they're one of our picks later, and I know you had to do this last second. Joshy typo strikes again.
Uh-oh.
Packers -2 at Ben Broncos. Not the Denver Broncos, the Ben Broncos.
Yeah, I think that was supposed to be Den. And then I ended up with Ben.
Den Broncos.
Yeah.
I just live.
I have Ben on the mind.
Rent free, baby.
All the time.
All right. Packers Broncos next on.
You're listening to the Weekly Wager live from Pottawatomie Sportsbook on 94.5 ESPN and at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube.
Is this true, Josh?
Huh.
You talked about EPA.
Yep.
Stands for?
Expected points added.
Petey Pablo chimes back in, and yes, what's up, James the Postman?
Sup, James.
So Favre is third in all-time EPA?
That's an interesting question. If that's
all the all-time picks leader, now I'm going to have to break down the formula. Thanks a lot, Josh.
Added.
And this, if this isn't true, and I just did the thing where
We do have to, oh boy, this just took me to a big chart. we do have to realize and recognize that Brett Favre won 3 consecutive MVPs.
That is true.
He did rattle off 3 of those in a row. He was the most feared man in all of the NFL. You also have to realize you adjust for era back then, it was certainly more likely
okay.
for quarterbacks to throw interceptions. Yeah. Right. The game has now evolved into a point where I believe it
Josh
takes,
is just the EPA guy and will make excuses for it. You know,
I believe
it's different back then.
The last 20 years of stats, just because the game has eras, the game evolves, the game changes.
All right, so how about this? Let's dive right into it.
Uh-huh.
The Broncos are third in total defense at 282 yards given up per game, but they lead the league in touchdowns allowed at 22 over 14 weeks. That is a hell of a number, and it speaks to how they've won 10 straight football games, despite, in my opinion, the offense not being very good, and Bo Nix is limited in his abilities.
Yeah, I mean, this is
kind of Caleb Williams-ish.
This is the best defense the Green Bay Packers are going to face in the regular season. The other defenses that are ranked better than them, you can look at all sorts of different rankings. The Chargers, the Texans, and the Seahawks, and that's the list. And there's other lists they can certainly look better in. This defense is very good. This defense is a man-to-man driven defense, which Jordan Love has the best stats against man-to-man.
You pointed at me, but you were talking.
Yes. It was dawning on me that I had seen that stat earlier.
It makes me very confident with how he attacked
yes.
the Bears against the blitz, because if you are going to blitz, you're going to be stuck in a lot of man situations, yes. and he absolutely could.
They have one of the most talented defensive ends in all of football in Nick Bonito. They have one of the most talented, if not the most talented, cornerback in Patrick Surtain.
Defensive MVP.
He does follow players around. I imagine that is going to be the spot you see Christian Watson ended up a lot. And it's going to be interesting to see how Matt LaFleur tries to put Christian Watson in situations
Even
where...
Even the slot, he'll follow him around?
Yeah. To my knowledge, he follows basically everywhere. Maybe not so much into the slot, but I'm sure he does do it on occasion. But the thing is, I don't know if Christian Watson is worthy of a follow
right. to the slot guy.
If he has a big couple of receptions, I bet he will move.
You have to be an elite route runner in the yes. slot for Patrick Surtain to say, I'm following you everywhere.
But they also have a really good corner in Riley Moss, I believe his name is.
Who also is graded super high.
Yep. Dre Greenlaw also is there. We remember him from famously tearing his Achilles
and being a really good force in the 49ers linebacker.
Well, I mean, he was probably the reason that
Warner.
Yeah, he was probably the reason. Well, at times, he was probably the reason that game went against them, because losing a guy that important in your defense, in the middle of your defense, is a big deal. So they are really good at getting after the quarterback. Jordan Love's not great under pressure necessarily. He's great when being blitzed, when there's extra people being brought, and they don't have to do a lot of that. They're also, as you can imagine, when you're ranked this high across in all defense, they're pretty good against the run. So this is going to be the biggest challenge the Packers face. I do think
second against the run, 10th against the pass.
Yeah. I do think they are going to be able to create enough with their own defense to pick up the slack on Bo Nix, who I think is very bad, to put it plainly. He has been very underwhelming. He's clearly a guy they're trying to hide. Sean Payton tries to work around. They do have a little talent on the outside. It's a young talent, but Cortland Sutton, that's a name.
Franklin is very talented.
Yes, and Pat Bryant is emergent, who is their rookie draft pick. He's one of those. Do you remember Marquise Colston and Michael Thomas?
Yes.
Those big
Saints.
Slots. That's sort of what Sean Payton is looking for in those guys, and he's become more of a factor of the offense as the season has gone on. So they have talent. They're not very good running the ball since J.K. Dobbins went down. They have R.J. Harvey, the rookie, who was drafted pretty early in the process. So they're certainly not a nothing burger on offense, but they are one of the weaker offenses that the Packers are going to face throughout the rest of the regular season.
I would say I'd be more scared of the Bears offense with their offensive line, the running game.
Yes.
And
do you want another fancy stat?
And even with Lamar Jackson not being as great as he's been, I'm still more scared of him than the Broncos offense.
Yeah. Another fancy stat is adjusted net yards per attempt. The Chicago Bears are have a 199.5 cumulative. The Denver Broncos have a minus 102.2.
That's bad.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's really bad.
The Green Bay Packers offense is 729.7 total net adjusted yards. So they are much better.
That's got to be what? Top?
The Packers are the fourth best offense in adjusted net yards per attempt. They are the sixth best.
Let's leave adjusted net yards for another show. We've already done
getting too in depth. It's just a way to sort of put a numerical number behind all the stats.
Basically, if the way I look at and have looked at the Broncos is, I like this matchup from a they want to run the ball.
Yep.
But they're not good at running the ball, and I think
not nearly as good as the Bears.
I think the Packers can withstand.
Yes,
that.
And we've seen the Packers stop good running offenses. We saw what they did to Saquon Barkley. We saw what they did to Jahmyr Gibbs. Like
they had Gibbs's number, by the way. On the side, his numbers against the Packers are horrible.
Best team in the league at the outside zone, which is what Jahmyr Gibbs does best, and we've seen the results now. For whatever reason, the Packers are very good at it. Good at stopping it, and it's been his bugaboo. He also had that. Remember the first game of the season, he had the most ever receptions to go for the fewest yards. It was like 10 catches for 31 yards because they were just all over him. So to me, this is a very winnable game. I think the point spread here at the Potawatomi Sportsbook tells us that.
Yeah.
That you go on the road,
despite the fact they won 10 games.
Yes, you go on the road to a team that is has 10 wins. Is a very difficult to place the altitude.
Wins.
Is it 11? Yeah, because they've won 10 in a row. Yes. So that, to me, speaks volumes of just how the people setting the lines here think of the Green Bay Packers and think of to where they've come. It does feel like, and this is a game we kind of, I think we all circled of, ooh, that's going to be a tough one. Late in the season, mile high, you got the weather, you got a team that everyone sort of knows the defense is just going to continue to be great. And for the Packers to come out favored in this one was actually pretty surprising to me. But it does show sort of the growth, because I don't think the Packers are favored in Denver without the past three games going their way.
This is just a little shocking news. Ex-Michigan coach Moore detained by police.
I did see that, yes. He was arrested. That's...
No bueno.
Yeah, not a story I'm prepared to delve into at this point.
I just was reading the news, you know, keeping people informed in the world of sports here.
Here's your fill-in for our Packers Broncos coverage.
I'm just keeping the people informed, Josh.
Here's the thing. I think you got the same notification I heard someone else in the room get because I heard the ESPN chime go off.
Oh, I did not hear that.
I think most of the people. I think a lot of the people in the audience are reading that as shocked as you are, and all we said was it out loud now.
Yeah, everyone knows. Everyone knows. All right, we will get to more Packers Broncos because it is in our picks. 28-21 is Ben Brust. 22-25 is Joshy DiMaggio.
Time to get that record over 500.
All right, let's get to our picks next on the Potawatomi Casino Hotels Sportsbook Weekly Wager.
This is the Weekly Wager live from Potawatomi Sportsbook on 94.5 ESPN and at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube.
The Weekly Wager live from Potawatomi Casino Hotels Sportsbook. Ben Bruss, Josh DiMaggio. Time now to hit our picks here. How do you want to do this, Joshy? You've been doing well as we have the standings. Ben 28-1.
I think we
Josh,
just alternate every pick who goes first.
All right, since you're catching up, I'll let you go first. Bills minus one at the Patriots. 49.5 over under Sunday at noon.
Here's the thing. I believe and don't believe in both of these teams like an equal amount.
We make this so complicated.
I realize they're both pretty good, but I think both of them are going to falter at some point, and I just don't know when that is. I think I'm going to lean on the Bills here, minus one, and what I'm going to take is they're just going to split the season series. They're division rivals. Josh Allen does the hero thing. I think Drake May is going to still continue to play well. But I'm going to go with the Bills on the road against the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm with the Bills here. Mm-hmm. They have a solid defense. New England's run defense is really good, but I also think James Cook is just, I don't care who he plays, sort of guy. Uh-huh. Like, in between the tackles, he's so patient. They run the ball well. And if he doesn't, Josh Allen can hero ball better than Drake May can, so give me the Bills. Lions plus 5.5 at the Rams. Over-under is 55 points.
Barn burner.
In a shootout, I like the Lions with those points. There's enough points where I'm like, I've seen the Rams, you look at the Seattle game, sure, they beat up on the Cardinals, but I think the Lions are still fighting for their lives and have enough talent to keep up. Do they win? I don't know, but I'm going to take the points, and I think they have the ability to win.
I think this would be a lot tougher if it was 3.5. The 5.5 makes me just say, I've seen enough of this Lions team function in chaos and shootouts and things getting crazy. I'd like having nearly 6 points here with the Lions. I'm on the same side.
It's also one of those things, we've talked about it all year.
Yeah.
In this NFL, there's no elite teams, and so two good teams.
I do think the Rams are the best team.
Of course, and the odds show that. But I think overall, with 5.5, we both are.
Yeah, I still think the Rams are probably significantly better than everyone else, but I don't think the gap between them and the Rams is 5.5 points.
Joshy, you get the lead on the Packers -2 at the Ben Broncos, as you wrote. Sure, we can save that. You'll get the Vikings +6 at the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm going to... I'm going Cowboys. It's a lot of trust in a team that I don't think is very good.
Or trustworthy.
Yeah, but I also think J.J. McCarthy, despite them winning 31-0, they did it by targeting a whole lot of like Josh Oliver. And it's not... He's still not good. I'm still very worried about him. I still think he's the Vikings are going to find a new quarterback in 2026 because they're going to realize this experiment didn't work and they have to figure something out because they have a mature roster. So I'm going to take the guy I think, if his team was better ranked, would probably be the leader for MVP, and Dak Prescott. I think he's been incredible.
I'm a Cowboys too, Josh.
Yeah.
You know, I hate J.J. McCarthy like everyone else does, but I also, just because he did it against the Washington Cowboys doesn't mean he
Washington
can do
Commanders.
It.
He's playing the Cowboys.
Playing the Cowboys. Doesn't mean he can do it on Sunday Night Football.
No.
No, thank you. I will lay the Cowboys, and I'll likely be teasing the Cowboys to a pick'em and close that with something else. A bonus because Monday night sucks, according to Josh. I get the Ravens -2.5 at the Bengals. This is one where I didn't have to like you, but I'm ooming to this one because despite the Bengals being up against the Bills, they just don't win football games.
Nope.
The roster's not
good
holistically. Ravens can win 4 straight games. They do control their destiny.
Yep.
I'm going to take the Ravens -2.5. I am. Give me Lamar. I believe Joe Burrow has some unreal numbers against the Ravens.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to go the Ravens on the road against the Bengals. It's probably going to lose, but for some reason, I'm still just trusting that Lamar will figure it out.
Yes.
Even though they're kind of giving me Philly vibes of, like, dysfunction.
Yeah, Lamar's clearly not been healthy. I think he is getting healthier, and you've seen some of his
stats. He did get a rush touchdown for the first time in eight.
Yep, you've seen some of his stats improve, and their defense has also gotten a lot better.
They lost a lot of guys.
The Bengals are likely to be without T. Higgins. Jamar Chase is obviously plenty enough when you have Joe Burrow as the quarterback, but I'm Ravens with you as well.
All righty, so we're 4-for-4. Uh-huh. We're either going to have a really good week together.
We haven't differed on anything yet?
No, we're both on the Bills, we're both on the Lions, we're both on the Cowboys, and we're both on the Ravens.
Yeah.
I'm
Packers.
You're Packers?
Yep. I'm picking the team I think is going to win, I think it's the Packers.
I don't... This sounds crazy. This statement will sound crazy. I don't think the Broncos' 10-game win streak is impressive as it sounds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. They've had a lot of comebacks. The luck's going to run out. A 10-game win streak is the longest in the league. It's the longest in the league by a lot. It's going to end, and perhaps it's not against the Packers, but it seems like it's coming to an end here, and the Packers seem to be on the right place.
Well, that's 5 for 5. I'm betting them all, Josh. Here at Potawatomi Sports.
Wow.
Chris Larson, thank you for running the show. For Ben Bruss and Josh DiMaggio, you ever picks, you have our show. Go back and listen on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee or on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Amber and Ian up next for you on 94.5 ESPN.